Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
There are a number of unsung heroes in the Bible. Those who did great things and yet don't often get the fanfare, for lack of better terminology, that others get. We know about the works of men like Moses and Paul, some of the big names. But there are others throughout Scripture that did great things as well. But as a general rule, we don't hear as much about them. Men like Micaiah the prophet, or like Joshua, maybe someone like John the Baptizer. These are all great men, but oftentimes unsung. Caleb is another of those. A great man, very important in the history of God's people, but oftentimes overlooked. That shouldn't be the case, and so tonight we want to give Caleb his due. But let's first get some background. You remember that God's people ended up in Egypt. Started out with the family of Jacob, who went to Egypt during famine conditions because there was food there. The Egyptians could take care of them. And because of Joseph's influence, Jacob and his family moved there. And as time passed, they continued to multiply and became a great nation living within the nation of Egypt. And because of the decision of a Pharaoh who was scared that these people might rise up against them, he decided to oppress them, try to beat them down, make their lives so miserable that they wouldn't have time to think about revolting. And so they did that, turned them into slaves. Yet they continued to multiply. And they cried out for deliverance. And God heard their cry and sent Moses in to deliver them out, and he did exactly that. He led them out of that bondage through the Red Sea, brought them to the base of Mount Sinai. Moses went on top of the mountain and received the law from God. And they continued on toward the promised land. And they had created their army and had all of that in place. When they arrived at Kadesh Barnea, on the outskirts of the Promised Land, they were poised to take the land. And it's here that we pick up Caleb and the first of his great characteristics. Tonight we're talking about the character of Caleb. And the first thing we want to emphasize is that Caleb possessed remarkable faith. Caleb was a man of remarkable trust in God. You see, as they arrived at the land and they were getting ready to take it, they understood that if they were going to engage in this military operation, they were going to have to send in some reconnaissance, look things over, map the place out. And so they selected 12 who would go into the land and spend 40 days there looking at things, seeing what the people were like, seeing how well fortified the cities were, getting a good look at how things existed so that they would know what they were up against. And so these 12 spies spend their 40 days. They take a look at everything. They come back to give a report. And their report was, in some respects, very glowing as they talked about the land. And they basically said, this land is everything that God told us it would be. God had promised them, this is a land flowing with milk and honey, representative of luxuries. It would be a great land to possess. And they saw that it was everything that God had told them it would be. And yet they came back, even though they recognized that God hadn't led them astray in His description of the land. 10 of those 12 spies evidently felt like God had led them astray in telling them that they could very well possess it, because they came back with a pessimistic outlook on their military operation. 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, "We cannot take the land." If you have your Bibles, open them to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we read there in verse 28 these words: "However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us unless we know who the descendants of Anak were and why they were to be distinguished from others. Well, if you'll look later in the chapter, verse 33. Again, they say, "And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." If you go back in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, you learn about the Nephilim, the giants. Some of your translations may have that term there. So the point was, these people had gone in, the spies, and 10 of them come back, and they say the cities are well fortified and the people of Anak are there, these descendants of the Nephilim, these giants. And we can't take it. The people are too strong. It's a great land, but we can't do it. What a sad sight that must have been to the other two spies, Joshua and Caleb. Because they were very much aware of the fact, as were the other 10, that God had promised them that they could have the land, that they could take it, that He would be with them, that He would lead them in conquest, that their enemies would not be able to stand before them. They remembered that, and they trusted that promise. And so when they hear the message of the 10 faithless spies, no doubt they were saddened by that, wondering where their self-respect was, these other 10. Wondering, I'm sure, where their faith was. They should have had no question in their mind about whether or not they could take the land. God had already promised them they could. As a matter of fact, we'll learn later in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, that the Canaanites were ready to give up. And yet, there were faithless ones. But not Caleb. Caleb was one who had remarkable faith in God's promises. But a lot of us can be like the 10 sometimes. When we look out on the world that we have to conquer, God's given us that. He's placed it in front of us. There's a world out there that needs the gospel. And we're in a position, having embraced it ourselves and obeyed it ourselves, to take it to the rest of the world. The task seems sometimes to be too much. And how many times do we react like the 10 spies here, forgetting the promises of God, forgetting how God has given us His Word, that He'll be with us as we go to the battle? "I'll never leave nor forsake," Hebrews 13:5. "I am with you always," Matthew 28:20. "God, our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble," Psalm 46, verse 1. Do we sometimes, like those spies, forget the promises? And just like they looked out at the giants in the land and said in the latter part of Numbers 13, we looked at them and we were like grasshoppers in their sight and like grasshoppers in our own sight. Do we have the grasshopper complex sometimes? The task is too large. There's so many of them and so few of us. Sometimes we react that way. And that's the way the 10 spies were. They said, "Look, it's just too much. We can't do it." And in the process of the 10 spies expressing themselves and their negative view, the people were beginning to be stirred up as well. And in the process of embracing and believing the report of the 10 spies, when what does Caleb do? Back to Numbers 13. Look at verse 30. Numbers 13, 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." There was a man standing against the rest of the group who looked out at the confusion that was being created among the people, and he stilled the people. He calmed everybody down and said, "Wait a minute. Let's go up right now and take it. We're well able to overcome." Well, hadn't Caleb seen the same things those other ones had seen? Yeah, saw the same thing. Hadn't he seen the giants? Yep, he saw them too. The difference was Caleb looked at the situation and didn't measure the giants in the land against the size of Israel. He measured the giants in the land against the size of God, and he knew who was going to win that battle. Many times we don't do that. We have our mountains in front of us. Obstacles. Things that we honestly believe can't be moved. Things that stand in our way of doing the things that we would really like to do in service to God. Evangelism and other things. Jesus talked about, didn't he, about mountain-moving faith? People that have the faith to move mountains can say to this mountain, "Move, and it will be cast into the depths of the sea." I don't think Jesus was talking literally there. As one writer said, I don't think the Lord was interested in the excavation business. He was talking about those mountains, those obstacles that we have, of whatever nature they may be, that stand in our way. If we trust in God to move those mountains, He can move them. But many times we start comparing ourselves with the size of the mountain. And we focus our attention on how big the mountain is instead of looking at how big our God is. And that's where we mess up. That's when we start misassessing situations. It's when we fail to take into consideration the size of our God and the power of our God. Caleb didn't let that happen to him. He saw the same thing the other ten spies had seen. But they forgot about God. Caleb didn't. He had remarkable faith. What a difference we can make if we'll be like Caleb. God wanted to bless those people. He wanted them to inherit that land at that time. That's what He desired. But their lack of faith in Him kept them from receiving and enjoying that blessing. How many blessings are we losing out on? How many good things are being withheld from us because we simply don't have enough trust in God to reach out there and take hold of them? That's a sobering question. But a question that we need to ask, and a question that studying the life of Caleb will cause us to ask ourselves. Number two. Caleb could see opportunity. Caleb could see opportunity. Some way, somehow, he could see the opportunity when few others could. There was no doubt in his mind, but he couldn't get the rest of the people to see it. Outside of Joshua, of course. He couldn't get the others to see it. How many times are we like that? Blinded to the opportunities that are in front of us. That's what had happened to God's people. The opportunity was there. Caleb could see it. And he tried to impress that upon the people. "Let's go up at once and take it. We're well able to overcome this." He saw the opportunity. Nobody else did. A lot of times we're that way. We're blinded to the opportunities that are staring us right in the face. Remember John chapter 4? Jesus went through Samaria with His disciples, and He stopped, and while they were going into town to find something to eat, He stopped and visited with a woman next to a well. And He spoke with her about spiritual things and convinced her that He was indeed the prophet. And she drops her water pot and runs into the city to tell people about it. And in the meantime, the disciples come back and they're trying to get Jesus to eat. And he says, beginning in about verse 28, 29, 30, in that area, John chapter 4, he says, look, I've got food to eat that you know not of. And the disciples were saying, well, what does he mean by that? Did somebody bring him something to eat? They were thinking physical. That's not what he was talking about. And then Jesus said, don't say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white already unto harvest. As that woman had gone into the city and told the people about Jesus, they were coming out to Him. And Jesus said to His disciples, look, you've got to open your eyes and see the opportunities that are staring you right in the face. How many times are we like that? In that we get so busy doing one thing or another that we fail to do the very simple task of lifting up our eyes to see what's staring us right in the face. Caleb saw that. He saw the opportunity, but the rest of the people were blinded to it. We can't allow that to happen to us. If we do, we will become stagnant and no progress will be made. How many opportunities do we have before us? Means to teach people. Television. We're trying to do that. But in addition to that, radio, print media, internet. So many opportunities that are in front of us. And that's not to even mention that neighbor next door, that co-worker across the office. The opportunities are always there. And yet many times we've blinded ourselves to them. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9. Let's redeem the time. Make the most of our opportunities. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Caleb could see opportunity. So should we. Number 3. Caleb was an optimist. We talked about the optimism of Jesus last week. Caleb was an optimist as well. He saw some positive things. He was confident in God and confident in the people, even though they weren't even confident in themselves. He said, we are able to do this. But some of us have lost our optimism, feeling like the world is against us. And in some ways, it is. The devil is still active, true. He's still the roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He's still that old serpent, Revelation 12, verse 9. The world is against us in a very real sense. But it is also still true that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. It is still true that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. Daniel 4, verse 25. If those words were true in the days when wicked King Nebuchadnezzar essentially ruled the world, and that's when that statement was made, certainly it can be true today. And with God still ruling in heaven, with the Bible still in our possession, with the gospel still God's power to save, why not have some optimism about us? Caleb could see that. Why can't we? Number 4. Caleb never gave up. Caleb never gave up. Look at what was stated about the people in Numbers chapter 14 and their lack of faith. Numbers 14, verse 29. After the people had believed the 10 spies, the faithless ones, made up their minds that they couldn't take the land, God punished them for their lack of faith. And He said to them, Numbers 14, beginning in 29, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and of all your number, listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. Caleb witnessed that. As he and Joshua stayed with the people throughout that 40 years of meandering through that barren desert, he saw those dead bodies falling. And yet the Bible says of him throughout all of that, Joshua 14 verse 8, Caleb wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely served the Lord. He never gave up. When there was so much negativism around him with these people just dropping like flies, Caleb wholly served the Lord. And when the time came for the people to conquer the land, the next generation learned the lesson from the previous one. And they had faith that God would lead them through, and they began to conquer the land. And one of the last places to be overthrown in Canaan was where the people of Anak lived. Remember them? The giants. What did Caleb do? Read Joshua 14, beginning in verse 10. Caleb speaks, and he says, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war, for going in and coming out. So now give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim, the people of Anak, were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." What an amazing speech. Caleb had spent the 40 years of wilderness wandering, an additional 5 years of conquest. And he speaks and says, it's been 45 years since the words were spoken to Moses. And I stand before you at 85. He said, I feel just as strong now as I did 45 years ago. At the tender age of 85 years, Caleb did not ask for someone to serve him. Caleb had not become bitter over the previous 40 years of time. He didn't say, I'm old and useless. He didn't say, you know, I put in my time, let's let the younger generation handle the tough stuff. He said, I want the mountain. I want the mountain. How many of us at a lot less than 85 years have given up on conquering the mountains already? Caleb never gave up. And yet many times we do. Some of us just look for excuses to quit the Lord. And I'm not talking about those who have legitimate hindrances that come about due to age. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who are very well able to work diligently in the kingdom, but simply choose not to. Shame on you. We need to be saying, let me have the mountain. Just like Caleb. Be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. Many of us have many years yet to live, and yet have decided already to hang them up. That's a tragedy. And we certainly didn't learn that from great men like Caleb. Are you like Caleb? Do you have strong trust in God? Do you have remarkable faith? Can you see opportunities as they come up? Or are you more like the others who have blinded themselves to opportunity? Do you act on the opportunities that come up in your life with optimism and a positive outlook? Do you persevere like Caleb did? Or do you give up all too easily? If you're not like Caleb, then let's all try to be more like him. If you're not a Christian tonight, just like Caleb trusted in God, you must also, if you ever want to be saved from your sins. Not only must you trust in God, you've got to trust in His Son. John chapter 8, verse 24. You've got to be willing to repent of your sins, confess with your mouth your faith in Christ, and allow yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.